Hi, welcome to Fresh Media Presents podcast. As always, you're joined by myself, Christian, and Paris. We are the hosts of the podcast. This is series 3, episode 3, I believe. Today we are joined by a special guest. We've got Michael and On in the building.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for so much for coming. If you just put the mic a bit closer to you.
Thank you for having us.
No worries, man. Yeah. That's good, man. It's good. But yeah, so in this episode, we just guys are going to talk about. So you're a musician, right?
Yeah.
That's it. So if you just want to tell the audience like a bit about what you do and how you came about to becoming a musician and stuff.
So basically, like, I make kind of like a rap, but it's like more on the hip hop side, kind of like with like the boom bap kind of instrumentals, but also with a bit of like trap influence. Like, I'm not really like. I won't say like I'm like your typical UK kind of artist that's just like mainly like the drill thing or the grind, but I've tried to dip into grind, but I think it's just too complex.
I'm gonna
give them the respect for that, innit?
With grind, there's a certain rule. It has to be a certain beats per minute. I'm not sure what is it, 160 or 180? Something like that. There's a certain rule to it to grind. Like if it's not 180 or something, 160, I'm not too sure.
You can't really classify it.
Yeah, it's not grime. Something like that. It's a bit.
I feel like the lyrics as well, like, cause like you can't be coming too serious on the grime kind of flex, innit? Like you gotta be a bit more like just random with it, because you know them grind bars just be like hitting differently.
I know. It's a bit different. And I know, so with drill has a certain type of beat as well that you could just know that this is drill. Like it's just something, especially with the way you rap as well, the cadence on the flow, the way they rap and drill, it's kind of like the same.
That's why I feel like most of the drill artists sound the same as well,
because they do, innit?
Yeah, there's not really much growth, I would say. But you know, each to their own.
Yeah, like I mess with the drill artist though, because like it's a talent on its own to be able to do that, because not everyone can do it. But like, I don't want to be like on the hand and say that it's like it's brand new, because like we've had drill like for like many years now. It's coming like to like 5 years, because like even back in the Chief Keef days, the UK was starting their own drill flex as well. Like the lyrical content as well, it's always the same. Like you have to listen out for is like what metaphors are they using that's different. But now they've named every football player in the league, so like
they use football a lot in drill. Football always gets mentioned in drill. But you know, like, music has evolved like greatly. Like, I remember before you just started with like hip hop, obviously you got R&B and soul and all that other stuff, but then all these mini genres kind of like got introduced, like trap, drill, grime. Well, grime's always been there, so I can't even say grime, but How do you think it got differentiated? Like, how do we separate it? Do you get me, from hip hop to grime to trap to like, how did that get separated? Since when and how?
Like, I think like the separation, like, I can't really give the times because I'm not even that old myself to know about them
times.
How old
are you?
I'm only 22.
Wow.
But like, I feel like it just came down to like people realizing that you can do your own type of thing and you ain't gonna stick to like one kind of quota, innit? Because like, that's why like grime artists are kind of like bashed upon now, innit? Because they think, nah, like, if you do grime, it has to stay grime. You do anything else, like, get out of here kind of thing, isn't it? But like, once you start realizing, like, rah, I can take a bit of grime, like, well, how does grime and R&B sound? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know who's doing that.
Yeah. Like, you got Afro beats and you got Afro pop now, the one that is like mixture of everything.
It's about experimentation, innit?
Yeah. So, are you big on experimenting with your music? Like, do you always flip around?
Do you know what it is? I try to, but I just always find myself, gravitating back to one style of like instrumental or beat style, isn't it? Like, I always tell myself, you know what? I can't be serious on this one. Like, let me make it a bit more jumpy, like a little bit more trappy. And then it's another boom bap beat. It's like, yo, I keep doing this to myself. Like,
Joey Badass.
Yeah, man.
Like, oh, you do the Joey Badass beat.
Always, Joey Badass, old sweatshirt, even like a little bit of Lord Apex type beats as well.
I see.
Like, it's just within that range. And then like, I'll be like, oh, do you know what? Let me see if I can get on that Travis Scott vibe. Nah.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I just always go, it ends up being like a Travis Scott type Joey Badass. He just always finds his way into them instrumentals.
It's just your influence. It's like, especially if you know that's what you like and that's how you make music, there's no point in changing it, because you can hear, like, when certain artists try to switch it up, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Most of the time it doesn't.
Like Drake's a perfect example. Even though I like Drake, sometimes when he switches up too much, it's like, yo, like when he... When did the thing with Eddie won?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that was...
I'm like, yo, Drake, what are you saying? Like, he started to speak Arabic. I'm like, you don't even sound like you're speaking Arabic. No. Like, what language are you speaking?
On Twitter, they were saying he was saying a completely different thing.
Yeah. Pronunciation.
They were drawing him out.
They're drawing him out still.
Yeah.
But I respect him for what he's trying to do. Yeah, I get the vision.
Yeah.
But sometimes, chill. Like, Arabic, brother.
But do you know what, though? Like, Drake's Canadian, innit? You got to remember, like, the Ackies are down in Canada as well. Like, hell, the Marlies are down there, innit?
Yeah.
Like, most of his man them as well, Marley too, innit? So, I can understand if he was trying to do a little something for them, but still.
Still, you have to lower your lane. Like, what you're saying, like, you have to stick to what you know sometimes. And not, you can switch it up, but not too much, like, switching it up. Like, because it can go left. It can go real left. But obviously, Drake, I think because Drake's is different because he built his name over time. So maybe he's allowed to experiment because he's Drake, innit?
Yeah, it's Drake. Like, who's going to tell Drake no? Like, what? Drake got hella yes men around and they'll never tell him
that's
no.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But in your case, like, you're like, you're more or less like, stick to what you know first, keep grinding, and then when it blows, it blows. And then if you want to maybe switch up here and then, you can do. But because you're already blown.
Yeah.
You already made a name.
You got someone that will listen to it. Like, that's guaranteed. Because, to make music is money. Like, it costs as well. Because you got to get the instrumentals. Then you got to get the studio. Then you got to get the engineering. Like, all of that stuff. And then if you really want to take it as far, like, you got to start paying for radio edits as well. Just to... So, like, you can't just always just go off a whim with it sometimes. Like, it's nice because, like, you're creative. So you get to do what you want. Like, the freedom to do that. But... like, when you're not really at that kind of level, it's kind of hard to experiment more because you don't want to start creating a sound that splits your audience because they'll gravitate to one sound. Like,
and then
you bought like that was like with me because like I have like my sound, which is like the Joey Badass. Like, that's what I feel like is my sound and that's what I prefer as well. But I also got other tracks that are more like on a club vibe, and I got audience out there that's like, yo, when you make it, yo, like.
Yeah, but it's kind of good to have that, though, because it's good to have a bit of both with, like, sides of it. Like, you got the club vibe audience, you got the joy run, you know what I'm saying? You got, like, it's good to have a mixture of audiences.
Yeah, you draw the audience in first, and then you give them what you feel like that you are, and then if they stay, they stay. If they don't,
they don't.
But that was, like, my problem, though, because like, I felt like I didn't want to give them this sound that I knew wasn't really what I wanted to focus on, because, like, I didn't want to like catfish them because they'll come to me expecting the sound and then
you switch
when
up.
I come up with like the Joey Badass boom bap vibes, they're like, yo, brother, what are you doing? This ain't you, fam. But I'm like, yo, this is me. And then that's it. No fan base no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, but sometimes, I know what you mean, but sometimes it's like, then you can get another fan base from your Joey Badass backbeat. True. So it's kind of like the balance of doing it. How long you been making music, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I probably started recording, I think, like, a year and a half ago. Wow. So, like, my first release, it came out, like, the other day on SoundCloud. I was like, oh, first post a year ago. I was like, mad, it's been that long. But, like, maybe, like, I'll probably just say 2 years overall because it didn't take me long to actually get in and start, like, recording. So, like, at first, it was just me and the friends just linking up, like, freestyling and that. Then, you know, like, you'll just be thinking, like, yo,
I can do this.
That's sounding kind of nice, you know? Like, it's like the man them were like, yo, bro, you need to write something. Yeah, just more gassing and that.
Gassing, yeah.
But I remember I was working with Argos and then my man Honor here. I used to come and show him the little voice recordings and that. Yeah, we was in up there chilling.
You used to work in Argos, didn't
you? Yeah, actually, you work in Argos still.
As well,
Your warehouse, the one in Holbin.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I used to work in August, but I didn't do no rapping thing though.
Yeah, nah.
No, to be fair, you know what? I used not rap, but I used to do a little bars in school. You know when everyone used to get their phones out and they used to try to spit over an instrumental,
rap battles and that, innit? Doing that.
Kinda, but not too much of a rap battle. Just kind of spitting bars over the phone. But them times it wasn't like a smartphone. It was one of them like Nokia 3310, like
Sony Ericssons and
things. Yeah, the old school things. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone had a point in their life where they feel like, oh, I can rap, but for me. I just used to kind of just do it for a joke, but I never like used to take it serious. But with you, so when you started rapping and then you started freestyling, people said, oh yeah, you know what? You're good, you should do this and more thing. When did you actually took it serious? When was what's your first debut song or that you thought like, you know what, this is?
Oh, like the track I thought like, yo, this is a banger.
Yeah,
like,
this is my first boom, your first track.
Or had to be like, cause like at first I had like the couple of tracks that freestyle to the man them, like, cause I started writing quite like quickly as well, cause I would freestyle and everything, and then after when I went with the man them, I'd be like on my notes just writing down stuff, isn't so I like writ some tracks and like I'll send them the voice recording, I'll be like, yo, that's a vibe, like, so I remember like the tracks I had was like, I remember I went to my birthday. Yeah. When I turned 19, actually.
Yeah.
I think it was on my 19th birthday. I went to the studio and I recorded these four tracks. So it was Uber Pool, Aqua Drip, No Snow and Need. And like all the mandem was, Double XL. It was Double XL. So those are the four tracks I first released, and the man were like, yo, this is cold.
This is cold.
Yeah. I remember it just kept going from there, and I just carried on writing and stuff like that. And then, like, I'm kind of like here now, isn't it? Just carrying on.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's good. So what are you thinking bigger? Are you thinking like album, EP? Have you done an EP?
No, not yet. Okay. Not yet. Like, I was going to, like, hopefully for this. Yeah, but everything with Corona just messed it up. Like,
up everything, man.
Like, 2020 was what we set our goal on, because, like, we started performing late 2019. So we started doing shows around then, and I was like building up kind of a name, like that little like underground scene that we have going on. And then I was thinking, yo, like I feel like I had enough like traction coming into me. Like I was getting like there was one point I was getting like almost 5 new followers a day type of thing. Like it doesn't sound big, no, but it's like that's growth, you know?
It's growth.
Like my posts are reaching out in like Zurich and like Switzerland, all those places and stuff like that. And I was thinking, no. EP time. Had the EP cover ready, was already starting to promote it and everything like that. I was getting like the tracks cleaned up as well. And then Corona.
I know Corona
just
up.
Hit. Pushed no more performing. So that stopped the promotion basically. And like no more, because I didn't feel like I was getting there to release it, but I still feel like I needed like a little bit more just exposure, a little bit more like a music video or something just to get that little more kind of thing. And then it deaded it off.
Nah, it did. Corona fucked up so much shit, because even we had their things planned in it. But we still done something, but we had to postpone it. Like, Corona's like mash up everything.
Like, we want to do like a live music performance, but that's not going to happen anytime.
Not this year. Because we wanted to do like a live performance, not even the live lounge. Like, the live lounge is just you by yourself spitting.
Like a gig,
like people coming through watching you. But
like that BBC thing they were doing. Where they got a couple artists to go up on like that platform, like because of Corona they switched up like that, but
similar. So the live lounge would be like you and your Jays, us recording and you spitting or just doing singing whatever you do. That's still going ahead, but we wanted to do like a live performance where you perform
proper
a
gig.
Where you perform in front of people. This, that.
So everyone that performs in a live lounge will come and perform to an audience.
Like it'll be recorded, obviously, but it wasn't just for online viewing.
Like people can come through. You have your audience, and then like it'll be like a it'll be like a free ticket base because you want to get people in. And like we was gonna have like multiple guests as well, like make it like a gig night where you have one talent do their thing and another talent jump on do their thing.
Like an open mic,
kind of thing. Yeah, we was doing definitely gonna do that this year, but Corona kind of messed it up. But we still might do it depending on how things go.
Not early next year, but you're welcome to come on.
Because we started this podcast because we want to bring back like give back or just help people kind of like contribute to people's growth. Do you get me? Because sometimes people ain't got the voice or people haven't got the platform or something to kind of like do certain things.
Like, even to get on like Link Up TV or GRM or even like Mixtape Madness, you have to pay a certain amount.
A lot of money?
It's in the hundreds. Just to get your video posted.
And you don't see nothing back from your videos or just the like the view count, isn't it? That's what you get. Everything else is like I feel they're good though. Like stuff like that are good.
It's good exposure, definitely. It's
like,
good exposure.
You have to look at it as like you shouldn't be looking for like to get money out of it. You should be thinking of it like this is just like to grow my audience and expand like my fan base or whatever you're doing, isn't it? Like you can't like they're their own platform. You feel me? You're now it's like you use I use kind of a thing, isn't it? You scratch my back, I scratch yours.
That's it.
You pay me for this, I get you the views to now transcend onto your own channel type of thing, isn't
that's it? That's it, But even like me and Paris was even speaking about, even if when our podcast gets bigger and bigger, we're still gonna keep it humble. We're not gonna like you know what the thing is, I say we don't charge people. We won't charge people, but if the demand is getting so high, because you know the bigger your platform, the more the higher demand is, and it's gonna cost money. So
but
you
still wouldn't even want to charge people.
I still wouldn't want to charge, but maybe it'll be very cheap. Like it'll be like some peanuts, like anyone can afford it. It won't even be extortion. It'll
if
be like
if your platform gets bigger, a lot of bigger artists are gonna wanna be on it. And that's a lot of lucrative business there.
Exactly, yeah.
Like signing contracts too, isn't it?
Bigger artists, what me and Paris are saying, we'll get a few bigger artists, but we don't want to deviate from our plan of having the young up and coming. Our podcast focuses up and coming people.
Voice of the underground.
So we don't want to like deviate from it and just start say, oh, you know, fuck you underground. We made it. Nah, we don't want to do that. Fuck that. Nah. Because then that would take away our plans.
It's true.
So
that's a good view, man.
Yeah,
the love will come back anyway. Because when those underground artists now get bigger, they're gonna be singing praise, isn't it? Be like, what? Nah, you need to come down here. You crazy?
Exactly.
Like stuff like that.
Yeah, that's definitely that's the plan of it. Ooh. So what are you? Do you have a manager or do you have like a producer that always does produces your shit?
Nah, like my manager is my boy here, Honor.
Okay, cool. Honor.
So he's
manager.
The one there managing everything. But like my beats, as like I take it off of YouTube kind of thing. I got these. There's three I use, like Balance Cooper, and then Lewis Beats, and then there's one other one. But it's just like through their beat star store, isn't it? So like,
do you have to pay to?
Yeah, you got to. But like, I feel like it's just better that way, you know? Because I don't know. I don't want to say like I'm picky, but it's like I'm kind of picky, isn't it? Like, I don't even have to word it.
I don't want to say I'm picky.
I'm trying to soften it, like. But like, I'm basically kind of picky when it comes down to the beats, because like, I like the classical instruments and the beats and everything. And like, you know, the kind of, the market's being saturated right now with like drill beats and like trap and stuff of that. Like, but that's not really me. I kind of like the slow, kind of like some jazz in the background, you know, like rips from that and all that stuff. And then those guys are the ones that do it. But they ain't in the country, innit? They're out in like Switzerland and like America.
No, I understand. I get why you would do it how you do it, because it's not easy to find a producer. Like, you would have to know, like, most people, either their boy produces and they just get their boy to do it. But if you don't know anyone that produces, it's going to be hard to find one. And if you do find one, they might charge you like bare peas.
Mad.
They will probably extort you. They'll charge you bare peas.
For real. Yeah. But also, it's just the thing is that you might not just like the beats. Like, because, like, I don't want to be rude or anything, but like,
you get, but if the producer's good, you can like tell him, like, you know what, I like this kind of sound, and they can cater to what you like. So if the producer's good, you say, look, I want this type of beat, and they can work with what you like, some of them. So you can add an extra.
Yeah, true. But that's the trouble, though, is that it's actually finding a producer that actually has his own studio to produce or work from, because like, the problem is that like, there's not a lot of producers that you can really find, and if they are, they're like the big producers, like, because producers don't really get shown love like that, so they're not easily accessible as the artist. Like, you're trying to find a producer for a track there, you're going, oh, what's that Fredo type beat or Fredo song instrumental? You never know the producer's name, innit? So it's just hard to find them. And like, then the ones that you do, like, because I get producers like messaging me on like Insta and stuff like that.
Oh, do you? Okay.
But they're not in the country, innit? Like, like, I had one message me from South Africa, like...
Sis!
Yeah, like...
More of an international sound.
Yeah, basically, like... Like, a lot from, like, Europe and that, like, Lithuania. Yeah.
You could probably still work with them, but they can just send it over across.
Yeah,
but that's transaction just, might be a bit...
That's, it's
and
messy.
The communication's a bit too much, like... Because it can get lost in translation. Exactly. You might say, I want this, he sends you back, no, not this, but... it's too much back and forth.
It is. True. That's, like, how I tried to get someone from Russia to mix and master one of my tracks for me, because he hit me up as well. And then at the start it was cool and the translation was good, but then at the end of it was just like, oh, but he did the mastering and it wasn't what I asked for, all kind of a thing.
Didn't ask him to do it anyway.
No, yeah, because I actually wanted him to do it. He wanted to do it. I was like,
send it.
I sent it to him. He was like, what do you want in it? I told him how I wanted it to sound, and he just came out with something else.
Different.
And then he was now telling me to like pay him, that he put in a lot of time in. I was like, brother, you didn't even do what I asked, kind of a thing, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just long. It's better to be like, if I also have a producer, I want to be there with them or like watch the track build up, because if I watch it build up, I can catch a vibe to it.
You can catch a vibe and then you can kind of guide them and say, oh, you know what?
Yeah, maybe little alterations
there, so you can like pattern it yourself.
Exactly.
I see.
It's good to build friendships as well with the producer, you know? It's just good vibes in the studio that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're just talking over the internet, it's not
really good. There are a couple of studios you can use. There's one called like Pirate Studios where...
Yeah, but you rent the space. It doesn't come with an engineer. So they just give you like a setup to use. So you have to know how to engineer it and operate all the equipment.
Don't come with an engineer.
No.
Can't you hire one?
You can, but
how much is it?
You have to know the producer to bring in. Like, you can bring in a producer, but they don't actually have an in-house producer because it's like lots. You just get a code and then a studio opens up for you. Like, they got multiple.
Oh, but like, the other so there's one, no though, engineer to like assist you and say, or to just be around to be like.
Nah, like you got someone at the reception that knows what's happening. So like, if there was a fault, they'll come and sort out. But they're not in there making the beats for you, you know, or like recording your voice.
See.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Roundhouse though. Roundhouse.
Roundhouse, not Roundhouse. Yeah,
like they got like a little scheme. I think like under 25s or something like that. You sign up. I think it's like £20 one time, and then each studio session is like £1 for like that's a limited time. Yeah.
Does it cover an engineer?
Yeah, yeah. But that's extra. Like, I think like £3 extra for the engineer, and you have them like you have the booth for as long as you want.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
So what, in this case, you might have to start learning how to produce then, if that's the case then.
Oh, you told myself that during the quarantine.
Yeah, maybe, because if you learn how to produce, then it'll probably be easier for you in the sense that, because then you're doing exactly how you like it.
I know.
But you have to learn though, it's not.
Exactly, that's why I give producers their respect. That's why I'll be like, bro, I will buy your beat. Like, no harm feelings, like, how much? Take. You feel me? Because I've tried and it's hard. Like, I pulled up Bandcamp on my iPhone. You feel me? Like, it didn't bang. It didn't. Sounded like dubstep. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
You tried it. So you have kind of dibbled and dabbled a bit and tried.
I won't say I've dabbled enough to say I've actually tried it. Like, I pulled up my phone, tried going that. Like, but I've never actually sat down at, like, I said, let me try produce something.
Yeah.
Like, I just know that I'll have to invest a lot into it.
You have to get the software, get the mixer. You have to buy a couple of stuff first. Yeah, practice. Mm. Make a couple of shit beats. And then eventually, once you learn your way around it, then...
True.
But it could work out cheaper in the long run, though.
It definitely will. Because I'll own it off the bat. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't have to pay for, like, licensing and, like, the copyright and all of that stuff. Mm. Like, if they did use a sample... Like, that's the problem as well. That's why I do rather buy it. Because, like... You can rip it off the like internet if you really wanted, but like if you get into any legal troubles now, it's like, why is my track on your Spotify type of thing?
Yeah, and then it's like, and so you're just getting taken down.
Taken down, and it's just
for money.
Yeah,
and they sue you. Yeah,
well, they could sue you for money, but like if you ain't made no money off of it, they can't.
They'll just take it down.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's a tricky one. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of hurdles, man.
Licensing and all that stuff, man.
Like, it gets sticky. Like you gotta actually, I did to like. The documentation in the music industry is crazy, like the copywritings, all of that.
Are you learning that process of the whole like legal side of things, like owning your masters and all that other stuff?
Because I watch this podcast as well, Everyday Struggle.
Oh yeah, I watch that. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
So I always tune into that, and like they drop some gems on there, like especially when Birdman was on there and like all those problems back then, like I think like last year or so.
Mm.
I was tuning into that and like picking up some like little gems here and there. So I mean, focusing on that as well.
Mm.
So, when the time's ready, in there, I'll be ready. Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's smart with his ownership, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. He just wants his masters.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, I think that's the thing now. Would you plan on going like independent, or would you sign to like a label if it gets to it?
Like, hopefully, like the plan that I kind of want to have is like it's the same mentality. Like, it's like scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So I'd like to sign on for like. An album or mixtape kind of deal, or like a single type of thing, just to get that industry push and see like if it's something that I actually do need. Because at the same time, getting that industry push for that one single, I'm also building so many connections in just that small time. Like the producer they're gonna send me to, the engineer they're gonna send me to, just stuff like that. So like I'd rather have like a short term deal. Just for me to get my bearings in. So like I'll be like, oh, yo, my bro, man's like, you know, build up a little relations in there without having the label being the one doing it for me. Then I can like switch independent.
But it's hard. That's the problem. It's hard though. Loads of people that when they jump into a label, they saying it's hard to come out of it, because when you do come out of it, they still own your shit. They still, there's so
that's
much
what I'm saying. So I'd rather sign on for like one. You can have one album. Like what's one album? That's like 7 tracks. Like, but what I'm gonna gain from that one album is like it's unpriceable in a way, because like the exposure as well as the connections, like you can hold that, but I'm gonna hold the rest of my stuff, you feel me? Like it's give and take, you feel me? Because their business, like you can't just expect free help, you know what I'm saying?
Nah,
especially when
it
gets that far.
Yeah, they have to eat as well. But I don't like how they do it though, because the way they hold, there's even this whole 360 deal where
everything's a scam
basically. Yeah, the whole sponsorship, everything. What? Any money you make, even outside of music, anything, they take a percentage of that.
They see it as, we built your brand, so we own your brand.
They own your likeness.
That's how they see everything. It. Yeah.
Basically, like, you get refunded by free. Yeah, I need a cut. You know what I'm saying? Everything, it's crazy. Yeah. So I'd rather, like, I feel like in them situations, it's better for them to just own, like, not your likeness, but I'd rather give up some music for them to have instead.
But don't you think independent, you could do exactly that, but independent. Obviously, you have to spend your own piece.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the thing with independence. When you're coming up, it's more difficult than having the push.
Even the music video, I have to pay for everything.
Exactly. That's why you build connections, you know? Like, the music video I shot yesterday, like, that's a connection I built up from my friend in secondary school. Went to go link him, and his boy was there, and he's like, yeah, man does music videos. He showed me what he did. Like, he got like 3 music videos up on Worldstar.
Sis.
Yeah, like, he wouldn't know. Like, I just went to go link my boy from secondary school I ain't seen in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm bow. That's a valuable person I'm meeting right there. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. So that kind of, yeah. So, and he didn't charge you for it, innit?
No, that's my brother.
Yeah, so, so you just need to build more relationships like that. That's it. And then.
Yeah,
exactly.
And like, then it could work out.
But 100, like, he'll defo eat when we be eating. Like, when we actually start getting paid for what we're doing, why won't he? Because he'll been there from day one, growing with us. Like,
Yeah.
It's his bread as much as it is mine, or is his honours. You feel me?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Just because we're up, it doesn't mean we forget about people.
Exactly.
That's it. Bring them up with us, you know.
Mm.
And then they can charge other artists now, not just us, you know.
You know, if they're that's blown it.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say it's easier now to be independent, obviously, than it was back in the day.
Definitely,
because obviously you can create your own platform. You get the social media as well, so you can do your own thing really.
So with stuff like United Masters, I don't know if you know, basically their distribution service, and you just it's like an app. You just upload the music on the app, and it goes to Spotify, Apple Music, all the streaming.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, just from your phone, man. You don't need a record label or anything.
Nothing.
How much you have to pay?
It's actually it was free.
Yeah,
and now they're saying, I think it's like £50 a year, or they take a percentage of your royalties.
That's calm though, £50 a year.
DistroKid is better though.
Yeah.
DistroKid is better because you just pay. It's an American one though, DistroKid. Well, so is United Masters, but DistroKid is an American one. Does the same thing, right? But I feel like DistroKid is better because you can go back to your uploads and edit anything you want. So you can change the cover art if you want to.
Okay.
Take out some people from the creators list and stuff like that, but you can also pay them through DistroKid. So if someone needs royalties from the thing, so let's say the engineer or the producer, now DistroKid will automatically give them the cut straight.
Oh,
so and it's only £20 a year for DistroKid.
That's not bad, you know. Yeah, so you can, if you're doing numbers, you can see your royalties. Yeah. Nice. It's well, not and it's cheap as well.
Has gotten very easy.
It's gotten easier.
Yeah.
But I feel like these industry rats here, they know, so they try to kind of change the contrast and try to come with something different because they know that 100. You don't need them, so they try to do things a bit differently. Yeah. But
you know, I heard what Spotify is doing, like how they're trying to start signing artists themselves.
I heard. I think it's Spotify. What the fuck they doing?
Like, you're the reason artists don't sign. Now that's you're trying to sign them.
It makes no sense.
Might as well just go to someone else that's actually got money. Like, because what Spotify, all they're going to do is upload your music.
That's it.
Like,
that's it. Like, but then I don't get that whole them signing people, because you can upload your shit to Spotify anyway. So what?
It's the promotion though with Spotify, because you know how Drake, anytime he drops, he's on the front cover. It's stuff like that. So if you're a Spotify artist,
they can
you're obviously going to be on the cover, like up in the best.
But if they were smart, if they wanted to make money, if they were smart, why didn't they just do it as an ad? As in, you pay a certain amount of money to have your shit advertised on Spotify to be the front cover, rather than say I'm gonna sign to Spotify.
Because it saturates the market. Because now it's money instead of talent, and what people are actually gravitating to. Because there's a lot of like artists out here that won't like be considered like kind of dead or whatever, but they got the funding. They'll just flood it. Every skip is them. You feel me?
It's true.
So that's why you can't really do that. It's just like, it's a bit techie, that one, isn't it?
It is techie. No, but I'm just saying, for Spotify case, if they want to do it like that, but rather than sign artists, I'm just saying, if they wanted to make extra P's, maybe do it as an ad and you pay Spotify. But what you're saying is facts, because then you're gonna have people with that's not talented, but they got P's and they're just gonna keep paying Spotify.
But that's what the record labels be doing now though. Like, they be paying Spotify to boost their artists up on the, put them in the best playlist and all of that. So nothing's really changed. They're keeping the mainstream isn't it? So that's the kind of sticky part with Spotify.
It's sticky. But yeah, but for the audience, have you got any upcoming projects that they should look out for and listen to?
Just recorded a music video yesterday for one of my tracks called Out My Way. Should be releasing anytime within the next month or so. The single will be dropping like 2 weeks prior, so just like look out on the Instagram for all of that if you want to find it.
What's your Instagram? Just tell
Just at Medusa Mike.
Medusa Mike.
Yeah.
Cool, nice.
Yeah. Also follow Straw Hat Music.
Straw Hat Music, yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's our little thing we're trying to build up ourselves. If you want to join the family.
That's it, man. Appreciate it, man. Anyways, it's so good to have you guys on the podcast. Thank you for coming, man.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
No worries, man. And also for the audience, you can tune in every week, every Sunday at 5 p.m. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, and all other major platforms, so you can tune in every week, every Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.